During this talk, a video was played. For copyright reasons, we've not included the video in this recording. At the point that Sally Ann introduces the video, you may wish to pause the recording and follow the link in the description to view the video. We start by hearing Sam read from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 8 to 16.
The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joseph fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite with the army with the sword. The Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua preserves it, because I'll completely blot out the name of Amalekite from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner," he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation.
Okay, so in this passage that Sam so beautifully read to us, what we have is we have the Israelites. They were the chosen people, and they are facing a major battle with this group of people called the Amalekites. We had a lot of laughs about how we say that word last week, it has to be said. But as we think about this battle and how Moses responds, what we think about when we're reading these passages in the Bible is we think about our own lives, and we think about the battles that are going on in our own lives. And for some of us here, and we can't usually say this, but sadly for some of us here, their nation is at war. They are in a physical battle. Our friends from Ukraine at the back, and in fact, Alona shared something in the week. They're from Kharkiv, which is on the east side of the country, and there was a bomb was dropped, and five civilians were killed, and 11 were wounded. And even last night, I saw in the news this morning, there have been missiles shot into the capital city of Kyiv. So for these guys, you know, this is very real. These battles are very, very real. For some of us, the battles are personal battles that we're facing in our own lives. Maybe ill health, maybe broken relationships, maybe fear, anxiety, addiction, rejection. There can be all sorts of other battles that we go through. And when we were talking about this passage last week, there were a few things that we noticed about what the passage was about. And I'm going to share those things that we talked about. In that passage that Sam read, it started with this. It started with the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Now, if you look just before that and what Nathan covered last week, one minute they're kind of sorting out their thirst issues, their water problems, and they're, you know, Moses hits the rock and the water comes. And then suddenly it just changes thread and it says the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And it can be like that with battles in our lives. We can be sort of, you know, bobbing along, doing whatever, and suddenly things can change very rapidly in our own lives. So that was one of the things. The second thing, it goes on to say, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. So Moses doesn't shy away from the battle, actually. And in fact, even before we get onto the prayer bit, which is the sort of theme of today, he does something very practical. He says to Joshua, go on, off you go and fight. So he moves very quickly into the practical and he faces it head on. Thirdly, it then goes on and says, tomorrow, this is Moses saying, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Moses' response is to pray. You know, he was standing there. I don't know if he was saying anything, if he was singing, or if he was just standing there all day. We don't know. It doesn't actually say, but it was clearly an act of prayer, an act of worship, an act of trusting God. You know, just as I stand here with my arms in the air, what are we reminded of? We're reminded actually of Jesus on the cross, aren't we? With his hands like this on the cross, actually. More of that in a bit. But so he prayed. He responded by praying. It goes on and then says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. The enemies were winning. So while he was praying, prayer changed things. When he stopped praying, it stopped. The next thing we noticed is Moses didn't give up. He stood all day. I've never done this. Has anyone done this? Tried to stand all day with their hands in the air? I'd do it for about 5 minutes and I'd be very grumpy, I think, at that point. But he kept going, holding his hands in the air until the battle was won. And at times, I'm sure he would have seen all this mess and pain and heartache and death and blood, and it would have been awful just watching from his position people he cared for being killed. But he stood there and he kept going. The next thing we noticed is that when he got tired, two of his friends, or his brother and his friend Aaron and Hur, pushed his arms back up again. And finally, as I kind of suggested earlier, we see through this story, and we see this all through the Bible, that it points to Jesus Christ himself. We get these echoes of Jesus through all the things that happen, because Jesus, just like Moses was interceding, that means he was praying on behalf of the Israelites. So Jesus goes to the Father in heaven with our prayers and intercedes for us with God the Father. So those were the things we noticed. And sometimes things can happen very suddenly in our lives, can't they? Things can just flip upside down in a moment. You know, we can't control our circumstances always, but we can control how we respond to them. You know, we might run away, we might try to sort it all out ourselves, or we can respond in prayer. And when we start praying, are we going to keep praying? Alona was sharing that her church, we've got a little visitor here, that her church in Kharkiv, every day, I presume it's 7 days a week, I don't know, they pray for 2 hours on Zoom. They're all around the world, their church. They come, if they can, but I guess the pastor's always there or someone's always there, come together, and whoever can come, and they pray for 2 hours for Ukraine every day, every evening. That's keeping going in prayer, isn't it? That's commitment to praying. And these guys are doing that. They're praying, believing in a breakthrough. They're believing in the victory. I was chatting to somebody else in our congregation during the week, and she was sharing a story which really linked to what I was going to talk about. So she didn't want to share personally, but I said I would share anonymously. Both her sons, who are now in their 30s, they have really struggled with mental health. I mean, really, really badly, and very, very severe. And this went on for years and years and years, and it was very, very tough for her as mum, actually. And there were times when she had to kind of do tough love with one of them in particular. But after 15 years of praying, she prayed and prayed and prayed, the breakthrough came. After 15 tough, long years, the victories started to come. Sometimes we want those quick, easy answers, don't we? We all do. But actually, that reminded me of the importance of persevering and keeping going. So we see in this story how Aaron and Hur support their friend, their brother, when he can't hold his hands up anymore. And I know I've been in this situation. Sometimes we can be so overwhelmed with the pain, with the hurt, with the anxiety, with the sadness, with the trauma, with the fear. We can't actually pray ourselves. I don't know if anybody else has been in that situation. And that's when we need each other. That's when we need to be supporting each other in prayer. And that's why we're in a church family. That's why it's so important. And things like DG groups, where that deeper conversation takes place, where we share confidentially with a smaller group of people things that are going on. So that's just a short reflection. I'm not going to talk for too long, but I'm just going to show you a video now. And it's going to very kindly show a video which we watch with the young people. It's quite youthy, if that makes sense. But I think it's quite powerful in just reflecting further about prayer.
You may now wish to pause this talk and follow the link in the description to view the video.
Thanks, Andy, for playing that. So prayer, of course, is a conversation. It's a conversation with God. It's two-way. We can do that with words, with songs, by sitting with him, by writing, by journaling, by even holding our arms in the air. We can pray walking. We can pray sitting. We can pray with someone. We can pray on our own. You know, it takes all shapes and sizes. But when we pray, things happen. When we pray, breakthroughs come. Healings take place. Miracles are performed. God is a supernatural God, and we should pray believing in his miracles, believing that things will change. They'll always change in the way we want them to, but that's a subject for another day. But when Moses prayed, they were winning. When he stopped praying, they started losing. In the story we've just heard, Jesse, was it, I think, his leg was healed. Why? They prayed. I don't know if they hadn't prayed at New Day that evening, that Thursday evening, whether he'd been healed some other time. We will never know. But we do know that they prayed and his leg was healed and he felt that heat. And that's not uncommon. I've been in many situations where people have been prayed for and people have felt heat or cold or tingling or peace or all sorts of things. And personally, like many of us here, you know, I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, sometimes big, sometimes small, but God is always working. He's always doing something. Sometimes, as I say, not in the way that we expect. I just actually was reminded, as I was just rereading this morning, just a really small example, but Alona and I, a couple of weeks ago, we started the process of the visa process of applying for a couple of their friends to come and stay in our home. And I hope it's okay to say Alona, but Alona and I, we're not at the high-tech end of our skill ability. So we were slightly apprehensive about this, and we'd heard it takes hours, I mean, literally hours. So we prayed before we started because we thought that was, well, actually, you know, probably the best thing to do to help us along. Anyway, and then about half an hour later, we were sort of battling through this form. The system crashed, the internet went, we couldn't carry on, and we had to abandon mission. And Alona said, right, let's have some lunch. So we had some lunch, had a very nice chat, and I went home. Well, anyway, she told me a couple of days later that, I don't know if it was exactly at the time, but that day, this lady is in Germany, in a city in Germany. And that day, she walked past a church and walked into the church and got chatting to somebody in the church. And the church said, I have an apartment that you can move into. Now, we didn't expect, you know, we thought God was going to help us with our technical inabilities, you know. But actually, his answer was different. He had a different plan for that lady and her daughter. And they have stayed in Germany and they are living in this apartment that has, you know, been provided by the church. Little miracles. Day by day, God answering prayers. One of the things that we talked about last week when I talked with the young people is they said they find it quite hard to keep praying. They get distracted. Anybody else get distracted when they're praying? Yeah. Anybody else kind of get to the end of the day and think, oops, haven't connected with God today. Yeah. It's not just you guys, you young people. It's all of us, isn't it? Let's be honest. And I don't know if anybody else, when they're praying, you know, you sit there and then you sort of, you shut your eyes and then your mind starts going off and suddenly you're planning the next week's birthday party or this, that, and the other. And oh, sorry, God, sorry. I open my eyes. Yeah, it's hard, you know, there is a thing that goes on physically and humanly. And we talked a bit about this. But you know, what was really interesting is a number of them said, actually, you know, when they do pray, one of them specifically said she feels real peace, actually, in her heart. And I've heard so many people say when they stop sort of having a time with God or spending time with God on a regular basis, you sort of feel a bit without an anchor and you feel a bit empty, don't you? And you feel a bit meh. And I think that's quite normal because we're designed to connect with God, aren't we? So, young people, you're not alone, but it is good to be thinking about having a pattern, you know, maybe first thing in the morning, maybe last thing at night, maybe a bit of both. Some people were saying they tend to do kind of, you know, through the day they pray. Other people have a very specific time. But let's be intentional. You know, we know the people we are. We're morning people, we're evening people, or we're this or we're that. But let's be intentional about how we do spend time with God.